Well, I'm in the middle of this unchangeable series at the moment where I'm spending a lot of time in Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4 and linking God's encounter there with Moses to the I am statements of Jesus. And of course, not only are we in the middle of that, but we're in the middle of a pandemic as well at the moment. And to be honest, I think Karen and I would want to say that we're so encouraged in so many ways, despite all the complexities of this season, with the way that we are and you are navigating this season, in particular the way in which you're seeking as a church to bless others, neighbours in this community, in this region and beyond. And things look so different now, don't they, really, if we're being honest, especially in the supermarket. I mean, 4 months ago, it was the loo rolls that were sort of disappearing off the shelves, and a few weeks later, it was all the baking materials, the baking essentials that were disappearing. And I gather now it's the chocolate and the wine that's disappearing off the shelves a little more quickly at the moment. So they seem surprisingly sparse at the moment. And when things feel a little uncertain, apparently we want food that makes us feel good. And so I know that some of us have gone from being health food conscious to comfort food conscious. And, you know, we all have our little weaknesses, don't we? So when on the odd occasion I go shopping, I tend to stock up on nuts, particularly cashew nuts, or as some of you will know, my favourite salt and vinegar crisps. And I always like to make sure we've got a few croissants around as well. And so some of us have been winding up on the health front, but some of us have been putting on what I've heard as the quarantine 15 now. So 15 extra pounds is the average for most people, apparently. I heard of one person not that long ago who'd gone out shopping and come back with 10 tins of ravioli just in case. They didn't normally eat ravioli, but he got them just in case. And of course, there is comfort food, and there are comfort passages as well from scripture. There are particular passages that when we read them, they make us feel a certain way. And for me, one of those, I think for many of us, that would be Psalm 23. You just listen to these words of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But that's such an amazing word, isn't it? It's a word that we need in this transitional period right now. And here's what we can't afford to do. We can't afford to treat this passage like a tin of ravioli, basically, that we tuck it away just in case there's an emergency. You know, our souls need this truth every single day. You know, God didn't give us Psalm 23 to have carved on our tombstones, as it were. He gave us this truth to be written on our lives. You see, we need to know that our souls have a shepherd. Now, I was talking to someone a little while ago during the season who really had reflected on the fact that they'd been quite distraught and that they'd had this anxiety and fear that had risen within them that had been really quite debilitating for them. And you know, they were telling me that they'd felt overwhelmed and that for a season God had felt like a million miles away from them. And maybe that's where you're at right now. Maybe you just feel distant from God, but you need him more than ever. Maybe you've never really had faith. You've just found yourself online with Encounter. You know that you've never really sort of had faith before, but it feels like God is drawing you to himself in this moment. And you're waking up to the reality or the possibility that God exists, and that's why you're online at this moment in time. Listen, we weren't made to live without a relationship with God. We need to know that our souls have a shepherd. There's this author called Paul Miller who wrote this book called A Praying Life, and he talks about what happens when we remove the shepherd from Psalm 23. And he says this, that when you remove the shepherd from life, it becomes clear that we're just left on our own. You know, we're left all by ourselves, obsessing about our wants in the valley of the shadow of death. And we get paralyzed by fear in the presence of our enemies. And, you know, I think that's where a lot of people are right now. Actually, maybe that's where you are right now, today. And you need to know now more than ever that your soul has a shepherd. And when you have a shepherd, you know that it doesn't all depend on you, that it's not all up to you, that it's not all up to me, that God is going to care for you, that he's going to meet your needs, that he's going to provide for you, that he's going to provide for me. And you can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or the valley of the shadow of debt or disease or divorce, and you can walk through that valley and you can know that you don't have to fear, because God is with you, that he will guide you, as Karen was saying at the beginning of this celebration, that he will give you strength, that he will walk through whatever it is before you, that he will lead you, that he will guide you, that he will light up the way for you. You need to know that your soul has a shepherd. But I think that there is a little bit of disconnect for many of us, even though we live in the Cotswolds, okay? If you're anything like me, you don't know any shepherds, although you do know where to find a lot of sheep. Well, I certainly do anyway. But in the ancient world, sheep and shepherds were just part and parcel of everyday life. You know, if you actually take stock and you look at the history of Israel, you will discover that many of Israel's greatest leaders were actually shepherds. Shepherds before they ever led people. And it's like sort of God wanted to know, you know, I want to know whether I, you know, before I can trust you with people, I need to know that I can trust you with sheep. And being a shepherd was just where they learned how to lead. And actually, it's also where they learned how to follow as well. In the wilderness, these shepherds learned that they too had a shepherd for themselves. And just as they cared for their sheep, that God would care for them. And some of us, you know, will find ourselves in leadership at the moment. And if you're in leadership at this particular moment in time, you will know that it's a heavy burden to carry during this pandemic. You know, whether you're leading in business or healthcare or education or in government, or you're leading a family, or you're just trying to homeschool your kids at the moment, it is hard. And I want you to know that you weren't meant to do it on your own. We weren't meant to do it on our own. And we need to know more than ever now that our souls have a shepherd, that God is caring for us. And so Moses was a shepherd when God found him. And he's basically tending his flocks out on the backside of the desert. And God comes to him and God encounters him and God speaks to him out of a burning bush. And God says to him, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, and I want you to tell him to let my people go. And Moses says, I don't think you've got the right person here. You know, Moses is 80 years old, so I've got some way to go yet. He's been out in the wilderness for 40 years. He cannot do the 10 press-up challenge anymore, okay? And it's like, God, I'm a nobody. I don't have any authority. I don't have any credibility. God, I don't have any resources. And people aren't going to listen to me. And actually, I'm not a very good speaker, because he wasn't a very good speaker. You know, Moses was an expert, like one or two of us. He was an expert on what he didn't have. And God says to him, Moses, let me tell you what you do have. He says, Moses, you have me. And Moses says, you know, well, you know, if I go to Pharaoh and I tell him, I do what you tell him to do, and I tell him, you know, what you've asked me to tell him, and he says, you know, who's your God? You know, what do I tell him your name is? And God says, I am. Moses sort of is looking rather quizzically at God as he's speaking out of this burning bush. And God says, I am who I am. I am the sovereign. I am the eternal. I am the faithful. I am the true one. I am the same yesterday, and I am the same today, and I am the same forever. And Moses, by the way, I am with you. And I have no idea what it is that you're walking through at this particular moment in time. It may be sickness, it may be furlough, it may be divorce, it may be the loss of a precious spouse, or there's illness in your family, or there's depression, or there's more and more work that's overwhelming you, or there's less and less work and you're scared about your future and your savings are dwindling and you're wrestling perhaps with loneliness and isolation. Yet you need to know that you're not alone, that the I am is with you. And you're saying, well, who's with me in all of this? And God says, I am. And you're saying, well, who's going to care for me? And God is saying, I am. And you're saying, who's going to provide for me? And God is saying, I am. And you're saying, who's looking out for me? And God is saying, I am. And who's going to help me find a job? God says, I am. And you know, who's in control, actually, Mark? God says, I am. And who's going to make a way? And God says, I am. And who is smart enough to figure all this out? Because it's not me. I am, says God. And who's going to make something good out of this catastrophe and out of this mess? And God says, I am. And so when Jesus shows up in the New Testament, he introduces himself and he says, I am. Fully God, fully man. Jesus steps into this broken, sort of disrupted, disconnected, fallen world, a world that is filled with uncertainty and overwhelmed with darkness. And he gives us these incredible I am statements in the Gospel of John. And it's what we can be certain of. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. You know, I am the vine. I am the gate. And he says, I am the good shepherd. And in John 10, we find these two statements back to back, actually. It's like, you know, buy one, get one free, actually. So, you know, why don't you just pick up your Bibles today, and rather than listening to me, let's do this ourselves, okay? We're going to look at these two out of John chapter 10, you know, I am the gate and I am the good shepherd, and then I want to show you how these two fit together. But in John 10, beginning at verse 7, we read this. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. When the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it, the man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. And Jesus gives us these two pictures, these two images together. I am the good shepherd and I am the gate. So how can he be both of these things at the same time? Well, let me just do a little bit of contextual study here and take you back in time, okay? And in the ancient world, the shepherd had two primary responsibilities. One was to provide and the other was to protect. He would provide for the sheep by sort of showing them where to graze in the wilderness, by leading them to food and to water, and that was his responsibility. But he also had to protect them from danger, from the threats that there were in the wilderness, from wolves and bears and lions and thieves, basically. And as part of his protection at night, he would lead them into the sheep pen. And the sheep pen would be like a scattered rocks in a circle, and in this circle there would be a space that was cut out in these rocks, and that would be the gate, or that would be the door to the pen. And at night the shepherd would lay down in the doorway, and he would use his body basically as a barrier to keep the sheep in and to keep danger out. So that's the gate. And Jesus says, I'm the shepherd and I am the gate. I lay down my life for the sheep. In other words, I lay down my life for you, says Jesus. You see, Jesus is the shepherd and the gate. And if he is, what does that make us? Sheep. And do you know what? Just for the sake of today, I've done a little bit of research on sheep. And I found that sheep are mentioned over 500 times in the Bible. That is more than any other animal, more than cows or birds or horses or dogs. And do you know how many times cats are mentioned in the Bible? Zero. Absolutely not at all. I'm just saying that just in case you didn't know. But it struck me when I was thinking about cats, which I don't do very often, is that cats are probably the only animals that really like quarantine. They just like quarantines and lockdowns, but not sheep. You know, when I walk past sheep in the fields that surround us, you know, the sheep actually want to get out. They want to explore. They want to wander. They love being up on the top of the common, wandering around. But sheep apparently also have poor eyesight, and they can be a little bit stubborn at times. So they tend to follow other sheep without thinking about it too much. And if all of those things sounds like somebody that you're living with at the moment, don't point or don't elbow them in the side, okay? But we really understand, don't we, why Jesus uses this as a metaphor, because we can all be like sheep sometimes. I certainly know that I can. But there are other characteristics of sheep as well that are particularly relevant for today. And I want to give you a couple of them again. One is that sheep are vulnerable. Sheep can be intimidated. They can be spooked really easily. Okay, you know, when I think about sports teams, I think about mascots. You know, I can think of the Rams. I can think of the Bulls, as it were. I can think of stags. But there aren't many teams that have sheep as their mascots. Why? Because I think sheep are relatively defenseless animals. They're vulnerable. And you know what? We are too. We are. As humanity, perhaps we are particularly aware of our vulnerability right now. I suspect that most of us have washed our hands more in the last 4 months than we have done in the last 4 years. You know, if you're out or you're in the supermarket and somebody sneezes, we all jump and we all turn around. If we go out and we've got a frog in the back of our throat, we want to cough, we try to suppress it because we're so conscious of it in a public place. Just think about it. This microscopic, next to nothing virus has us all socially distancing ourselves. It has disrupted all the rhythms of life that we were used to, and it is destroying the economic engine of our country. And we have realized that we're vulnerable. We have realized that we are not in control. The truth is, of course, that we never were. Our bodies are vulnerable. Our families are vulnerable. The aging population is vulnerable, and none of us are as strong as we thought we were. And it's not just that our bodies are vulnerable, our hearts are vulnerable too. And Jesus said this, didn't he, that in John 10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Listen, we need to understand that our souls have an enemy. And the enemy wants to steal our hope, and he wants to kill our joy, and he wants to destroy our faith, and he wants to exploit our vulnerability during the season, and he wants us to live as though we don't have a shepherd. But Jesus says this, I have come that you may have life, and you may have it in all its fullness. He's saying, come to me, and I will teach you. I'll teach you how to have a cup that overflows, even in the middle of a pandemic. And here's what that means, I think. You might have less money than you once had. You might have less job, or you might have less work or less plans. But Jesus is saying, I'm going to teach you how to have a full heart. Draw near to me, he says, and I will restore your soul. I will give you peace. I can bring healing to your family. I can renew your marriage. I can rebuild your relationship with your children. I can stir up gratitude. I can give you fresh vision. I can give you fresh ideas. I can give you strength. I can give you courage. I can give you perspective. I can teach you how to pray. I can teach you how to hear my voice. I'll give you meaning, and I'll give you purpose, and I'll give you significance like you've never known before. You see, when Jesus says, I'll give you a full life, he's not talking about our bank balances. It is quite possible to have millions in the bank and be quite miserable. And I know that some of you are thinking, well, just give me a chance to try it, and I understand that, of course. But I'm telling you that what this crisis is doing to everybody on this planet is it's revealing our vulnerability and how the things that we've trusted in for our security are not worthy of our ultimate hope. Because every soul needs a shepherd. And I love, this is particularly powerful for me for a number of reasons, but I love this picture in Psalm 23 where he says, I'll set a table for you in the presence of your enemies. I think the picture that God is giving us here is that he's providing on the table everything that we need in our hearts, everything that we need to be sustained, everything that we need to live, everything that we need to thrive, not just survive, but to thrive. And he's saying, I will give you my peace, and I will give you my joy, and I will give you my nearness, and I'll give you my mercy, and I'll give you my presence, and I'll give you my love. I will give you everything that you need. And the picture, I think, here is that the enemy is standing off in the distance, watching as you feast on what your heart needs. And the enemy is distant. Guess why? Because he doesn't have a seat at your table. Fear doesn't have a seat at your table. Discouragement doesn't have a seat at your table. Panic doesn't have a seat at your table. And so you need to decide, what voices have a voice at your table? Don't listen to the enemy. Listen to our shepherd. Jesus said, my sheep know my what? My sheep know my voice, says Jesus. And so we have to ask ourselves, whose voice are we listening to today? What voice are you putting your trust in today? And I'm telling you, I've read a lot of articles, I've read a lot of papers, I've read some research, and here's what I've learned, okay, that nobody on the face of this planet has been through anything like this before. You see, God is the only one who's been through every pandemic. He's the only one who knows exactly what it is that we're going through right now. And he's the only one that knows exactly how to get us through what we're going through right now, because he's got insider information for you and for me. And Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, which means he speaks. And the question for us is, are we listening? So I'm a pastor, as you know. I've been to theological college. I've got a couple of qualifications, but have I ever sort of heard the audible voice of God booming from the heavens? You know, I've never heard him like that here. But I've heard him here, and here, in my heart, in my gut. And sometimes his whisper here is louder than his shout here, as it were. Like when I'm reading scripture, and a verse just jumps off the page, and exactly what I need to hear in that moment, or I'm listening to a message, and it feels like the person speaking is speaking directly to me and nobody else, or I'm praying with a friend, and that person who's praying with me, as it were, you know, prays the prayer that I actually needed to have prayed without them knowing it. Or I'm just sitting quietly in the morning with the Lord, reflecting and praying. And there's a picture or a word that gets downloaded into my mind, and I just think, gosh, I think that was the Lord. I think that was the Lord. You see, we are vulnerable, and we need to know that we have a shepherd. And we need to know that our shepherd speaks to us. And the thing is, you know, the more time you spend in his word, as it were, the more we know what he sounds like. Because you know what? We hear what we're near. And this is a time, I think, in this pandemic, when actually I think many of us individually and corporately, although it's very different for us, is a time when we're drawing near to God. And so as I close, I sort of want to invite you into an experiment this week, actually. I want you to ask God to speak to you. And really practically, this is how we can do that, I think, okay? We need to find some stillness and quiet. We may need to put some worship music on quietly in the background. We need to open up the word, open up a passage and just read it together. We can pray in silence and just ask God, Lord, would you speak to me? And if you've never done this before, then, you know, ask God some questions and then be quiet, sit still and listen. And if you're not sure what questions to ask, I'm just going to give you a couple of questions that you can ask, okay, that might be helpful. You know, Lord, what is it you want me to learn right now? You know, what do you want to teach me and what it is that I'm going through? You know, what is it you want me to learn? Secondly, the second question is, you know, what do you want me to do today? You know, is there somebody you want me to call? Maybe there's a name or a person that comes to mind at that moment. You know, is there somebody you want me to pray for? Is there somebody you want me to text today, as it were? Third question is, you know, God, you know, where are you asking me to trust you in this moment? Because the Bible says that Jesus says, cast your cares on me because I care for you. So you can ask God where it is that you need to trust him. You see, prayer is not just us talking to God, it's God talking to us. And it's an experiment. You know, it's a chance to learn. We're all learning together. I mean, which means that if you call that friend, you don't need to put on sort of a holier than thou sort of voice and say, brother or sister, the Lord saith unto me for thee sort of thing. You don't have to be weird about it, okay? Just find them up and see how they're doing, as it were. Just say you were thinking about them and you wondered if you could encourage them or just see how they're doing. Because we need to understand that people are vulnerable right now, which means that they need to hear from their shepherd. And sometimes other people hear from their shepherd through us, through you. And we need, therefore, to be more open than ever to listening. Because we need to remember that we're all vulnerable. Because none of us have been through a season like this before. And it's not just that the sheep are vulnerable. It's that the sheep are valuable as well. You know that when a sheep was lost, the shepherd would go and pursue the sheep that was lost. Jesus says in Luke 15 that there was a shepherd who had 100 sheep and one of them wandered off. He lost one of them and he left the 99 and went after the one. Jesus wants us to know that the good shepherd is never okay with a lost sheep. He leaves the 99 and he always goes after the one. And what we need to hear from that is that we are, that one. You're the one that's worth going for. You're the one that's worth pursuing. You're the one, as far as God is concerned, that's worth looking for. And so if you feel like God's drawing you to himself, it's because in this season he's pursuing you and wants more of you because you are valuable to him. You're not just vulnerable, you're valuable to God. You're worth Jesus to God. You know, Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. He laid down his life for you. Jesus pursues us when we're lost. He's talking about me. And he's talking about you. And in Isaiah 53, he says this, Isaiah 53, verse 6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. You know, we can all get lost sometimes, can't we? I know what it is, get lost along the way. We can easily turn to sin, or we can turn to greed, or we can turn to manipulation. We can get caught up in selfish ambition or vain conceit. We can wander off like lost sheep. But the second part of that verse says this, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He's talking about the cross, and this was written 750 years before the cross. And what he's saying is that all our sin, all our shame, all our guilt, all our crimes, all our wrongs, and every time we turn from him, it was placed on him. Why? So that we could be forgiven. You see, the cross is where lost sheep are found. The shepherd became the lamb who was crucified for us. And so now, as we move towards breaking bread and drinking wine together, we're going to bring our souls to the shepherd. Maybe for you, it's for the very first time. For others of us, it's so that we can be renewed and refreshed by the shepherd of our souls.